Now on BBC Radio 4, it's our legendary Monday night greeting from Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, abroad, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented individual players of the game who've come together to show off their wit and their humour, display their verbal ingenuity and expertise as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four people are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Giles Brandreth, and seated on my left, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins. Will you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. And seated beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Mermaid Theatre near the City of London, and we have a wonderful cosmopolitan audience as we begin the show this week with Graham Norton. And Graham, the subject I have in front of me is how I prepare for bed. They're full of anticipation of what you may say, Graham, but you have 60 seconds only, starting now.
My preparation for bed involves a lot of lubrication and quite a bit of friction. Yes, my bathroom is a veritable apothecary of creams, balms, lotions, and things in bottles that cost...
Giles, your challenge.
I felt there was a bit of hesitation.
No, not enough to be a real hesitation.
I saw him standing by the cabinet,
I know,
choosing.
No. If we get too sharp, Giles, we damage the quality of the show.
There was a very loud... Balms was very loud.
I know it was.
Because I wondered if volume could be an issue in this show, for example.
Obviously, balm means a great meal. I did it there myself, listen. Yes. Balm means a great meal.
It's just one of those words up. You automatically say loud and other words.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Right. What do you call that? You know that thing where you suddenly say, excuse me, what time is this bus? To get into London. You know, that sort of thing. What's that called?
I think it's called Tourette's.
Tourette's.
I tell you what it's called. It's called vocal ejaculation.
Really?
And he's the chairman.
Don't look at me. Turn away.
I'm looking with disgust at Graham because it's
Why?
Only Graham. Because you read something into that word was not intended. That's a perfectly
normal...
Well,
the word
normal...
ejaculation.
Yes, it's in the dictionary. It means something which comes out with a...
The end of that sentence.
Yeah.
Like the end of that sentence. Let's just hope the ejaculation stopped there.
Martha, can you bring a towel? He needs to go back to bed.
Nicholas, earlier this evening, I interrupted Graham. Can you remind me what that was about?
Yes, I will interrupt. It's you instructed him because his ejaculation on balm was so explosive that you thought it wasn't natural. It was perfectly natural. Graham, you have an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, how I prepare for bed, 47 seconds, starting now.
My usual preparation for bed involves me walking to the bedroom and saying, Nicholas, not tonight, and ushering him down the stairs to a taxi I pre-ordered.
Poor challenge.
Nicholas, is this true?
No.
Is this true? It's a hell of a way to find out.
I can categorically say no. As much as I have met Graham socially, I've never been in his bedroom.
He's not lying.
He's not lying. So it was a deviation.
And it's up four flights. I can catch him.
So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have 39 seconds on how I prepare for bed, starting now.
What I do is I get into the coffin consisting of earth from my own country, and I walk around town late at night. It's only when the morning comes I find myself retreating into my unholy box. It's true, I am a vampire. I live on the dead. Look at Nicholas Parsons. What a wonderful couple act it is. Here we are on Just a Minute, being able to make these jokes and have this fun. When you look at him now, you can't help but think, there's the man who used to know Caruso. And what a fantastic...
Giles challenge.
Much as I love hearing about Nicholas, we have now deviated quite away from the subject of how I prepare for bed. In fact, he's telling us how he prepares for his coffin, not how he prepares for bed.
I think he's going into the realm of the surreal.
Yes.
And is providing
from a coffin. not a bed. That's the point. High prepare for bed. Not high prepare for my night in the coffin,
but
high prepare for bed.
But he can't go to bed. He's a vampire. He can't sleep. He's tortured. He has to walk the streets looking for human blood.
Then he should have declined to do the subject. This is not appropriate.
Do you know nothing?
I'll miss out on this ride.
Right, right. Nicholas. I've just made the decision.
Nicholas, when the bed shops are open, I can't go out in daylight.
You have a very dubious benefit of the doubt, because you are... Because
yes, you he have... just so loves to hear himself being talked about. It really is heartbreaking.
I might possibly sleep in a coffin. That's the element of doubt.
No, you were talking in the surreal terms, so I'll allow you to keep in that surreal fantasy world of yours and keep going in that vein, and if you get out of it, then you will be deviating.
Okay.
So, therefore... 13 seconds on how I prepare for bed, starting now.
First of all, I put 4 pickled onions inside the mattress, because you know what they say, if a goat can eat...
Graham Challenge.
Now, he's deviated from his own thing. There was no mattress a minute ago, it was just lined with earth.
That's right, it was earth before.
You told me I could be surreal. I'm sticking onions in a mattress. Is that realistic where you come from?
Oh, I've stitched myself up completely on this one, haven't I?
You said be surreal.
Of course, they're spring onions. It's that kind of mattress.
Oh! A bonus point to Giles, a bonus point to Graham. Paul keeps the subject, and there are 9 seconds left. How I prepare for bed, starting now.
Nylon sheets are absolutely dreadful on the bed, so what I prefer to do is get some beautiful 100% cotton. I hold them up to the light. What beautiful crisp...
Oh, Giles.
The definition of beautiful.
Yes, beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Just before, yes. Yes, well, listen. And you've got in...
He speaks, he scores.
Does it work for me?
You've got in with 1/2 a second to go, Giles.
Oh.
So you've got that point for that, and 1/2 a second. How I prepare for bed, starting now.
Bed socks, please, I'm British.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, was Giles Brandreth. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton. Both got 3 points at the end of that round. So it's your turn to begin. The subject is bow ties. Will you tell us something about bow ties in this game, starting now?
I've always been frightened of bow ties since I believed as a child it was actually pronounced boat eyes. Therefore, every time I stepped into a marine vessel, I was convinced these huge ocular orbs were following me, possibly looking up my skirt in a Nicholas Parsons-type ejaculatory fashion. It's meant that I'm...
Giles, Giles.
There was hesitation after the ejaculatory fashion.
I was pausing.
No, oh. No, there wasn't. There wasn't. No, it was a bit too sharp, Giles.
It should have been.
No, she rode the whole thing smoothly, so I don't...
Is this E4 suddenly?
You're so shocking, Graham.
I know, we've gone beyond you, Graham, haven't we?
I know, I'm ashen.
So, yes. So, it was an incorrect challenge, Sue. You have the subject still, you have 42 seconds, bow ties starting now.
Similarly with Dickie Bow, I thought it was bow, and every time I met somebody called Richard, I would immediately jackknife to the floor, my head scraping the pavement, and move as if I was witnessing the Queen herself gliding towards me. I believe now they're a type of necktie.
Graham challenged.
A little bit of stumbly hesitation thing.
No, she's going with fluency. I'm really... I don't think there was any stumbling there. She does go at a pace.
What about the... You're doing your necktie.
No. She got it out at the pace. At the pace she goes, it would be very unfair to penalise her.
Let's face it, he's got the hots for her.
No one can win now. It's Sue's game.
Hey, let me ride this baby smoothly home. Yeah.
They're all evil. Right, Sue, you still have the subject.
Oh,
29
God.
Seconds. Bow ties starting now.
Are black stringy things round somebody's neck, and oftentimes I've been called upon to wrap one round a man's neck, and sometimes...
Giles challenge.
Repetition of neck.
Yes, you've had too many necks.
Oh, no, I think it was neek the second time.
Yeah, no.
Maybe it's Nick.
Yeah. Oh, the audience enjoyed it. Give Graham another bonus point. Giles, you had a correct
challenge. Give him another
challenge.
Point. It won't matter.
pursuing him or still be in joint third place at the end.
No, you have won before now, Graham, when you've been back in the past. And anyway, 22 seconds are available for you, Giles, on bow ties, starting now.
Never trust a woman who wears ankle socks, nor a man who wears bow ties. He may well be a murderer.
Paul Charles.
Well, there was two wears.
That's right.
One after the other.
Yes, wear socks, wear bow ties.
Yes.
He may be a murderer. It's people like you that run the criminal justice system in this country. Oh, he looks a bit odd. We'll have him.
The whole point, it wasn't a repetition, you see. The woman was wearing ankle socks, W-E-A-R, and the man was wearing W-A-R-E.
I think the phrase is, don't trust a man who wears a bow tie, not he's a murderer.
Our experience has been different, I tell you.
In fact, I was quoted in the newspapers yesterday because I often wear red socks. And then somebody says you shouldn't trust people with red socks.
How true that is. Neck.
So anyway, let's get on with the show, which I think will be more important. Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 17 seconds. Bow ties starting now.
Don't trust a man who's a murderer. He may secretly wear bow ties. This, of course, is the famous slogan that we were told in the 1960s. I remember at my comprehensive school, Tufty, coming out and explaining all the intricacies of this rather mad business. As I picture it now, that frightened...
So, bow ties. Paul kept going to the whistle end, gained the extra point. He's increased his lead slightly. And, Paul, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is youth clubs. Can you tell us something about youth clubs in this game, starting now?
I don't have too much experience of youth clubs. I popped into one when I was about 14 years old, very shyly stood against the wall, and there were other girls and boys.
Giles Challenge.
I did feel there was a touch of hesitation.
There was a touch of hesitation.
Well, I was revisiting a very painful memory. For the entertainment of the audience, but if that's not good enough, then I quit show business.
Oh, God. Oh, they're throwing them out all the time for their bonus points. I'm tempted, but I will resist it on that occasion because I'm... Giles, you had a correct challenge. You have 52 seconds. Youth clubs starting now.
At my youth club, we always had a fancy dress party at Christmas, to which I went dressed as a handbag in the hope that the girls would dance around me. We also took wonderful theatre outings, and the first time I ventured to this particular palace of pleasure was to see Sir Bernard Miles in a production of Treasure Island, in which he essayed the role of Long John Silver. The youth clubs of my particular jeunesse dorée very much consisted of coming out and dancing in a spring-like way. We would hold hands in a circle, and of course it combined...
Graham challenged you.
Repetition of dancing.
It sounds like some kind of cult, what you were doing.
No, I don't think he said dancing before.
Didn't he dancing around the handbag?
Yes, you're
yes.
right.
Yes! My God, he's yes. got it! Yes.
Well, listen, Graham, he danced around the handbag and they were dancing again. So you've got in, Graham, with 23 seconds to go on youth clubs starting now.
I prefer youth clubs to youth guns or youth knives because you're less likely to die. Youth clubs are...
Sue challenge.
Slight hesitation?
Yeah, I think so, Sue, yes. 17 seconds, Sue, youth clubs starting now.
Youth clubs always smell of you. There was a challenge. Slight ball of something.
Yeah, yes.
Possibly spittle. Yes.
So, Graham, your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, you did hesitate in the first word. That's right. Yes.
I'm consumptive.
I gave you the benefit of the doubt last
Don't
time.
Don't touch me
fair.
Now, Nicholas. How dare you? I will set the Janet on you.
Quickly, and can you lose and win friends in this game, your chairman? Right, Graham. The subject's back with you. 15 seconds. Youth clubs starting now.
My youth club was in the basement of the Methodist Church in Bandon, which could have doubled as a mushroom farm. Such was the level of dampness in that building. We would do beetle drives. Do you know what they are? I can't remember, but they were very dull.
Sue Challenge.
Sorry, beagle drives.
No, beetle drives.
Oh, you said beetle.
I thought you said beagle, and I was, as a point of information, really. Just wanted to know how you drive a pack of beagles through a small basement.
We were country folk. We made our own fun.
I wanted to sign up.
Is it like taking cattle to Montana?
That's right. They couldn't afford beagles, so they had beetles instead. So, it was an incorrect challenge, Graham. Still with you. Oh, and you've only got 3 seconds to go. Youth clubs starting now.
We would play ping pong long during the night and go crazy.
Graham Norton was speaking as the whistle went, and he has moved forward. He's got out of his third place. He's now in second place, only one behind our leader, Paul Merton, and he's just two ahead of equal thirds, which are now Giles Bradworth and Sue Perkins.
Still very close.
Only 2 points separates any of you. Giles Brandreth, it's your turn to begin, and I'm sure this subject has been chosen especially for you. It is jumpers. A man who's been associated in the past a lot with jumpers, but talk on the subject, 60 seconds, starting now.
Michelangelo is remembered for many things, but not for his jumpers. In my case, that is the big difference between the pair of us. Unfortunately, when I wander down the street, even though I have not worn colourful knitwear since the late 1980s, people say, oh, aren't you that idiot who wore those ridiculous jumpers? I say, possibly I could be the person you have in mind. It is my tragedy. Bear in mind that the late Princess Diana also wore...
Paul Challenge.
Two minds.
Yes, bear in mind, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Bear in mind.
Prince Diana wore your jumpers.
They just looked better on her.
So, Paul, you've got in with 33 seconds to go on jumpers, starting now.
I remember seeing a Tom Stoppard play called Jumpers at the National Theatre round about 1982. The actor Julian Glover was in it. It was a very enjoyable show all round. Jumpers, how are they different from pullovers? Well, there's a simple understanding thing that you must realise here. A jumper is indeed derived from something that you would see as perhaps a jumper-like material that it could come from, whereas a pullover is the exact opposite. That's two pullovers, that's three.
So, Giles, you challenge first.
The complete wardrobe.
But just tell me your challenge so I know you're correct.
Repetition.
Of what?
Of pullover.
That's right, yes, all right.
You pointed me in the right direction.
I want to make sure that you did have a correct one. Right, you have the subject again. You have 7 seconds, jumpers, starting now.
Mothballs is what my house smells of. Nothing but that awful stench, because in the cupboard where my jumpers are kept...
So, at the end of that round, Giles, speaking as a whistle, Wen gained an extra point. He's still in third place with Sue Perkins, only one behind Graham, and Graham's four behind Paul, who's in the lead still, and Sue, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is making millions. Tell us something about that. We're not far from the city, from the square mile. Millions have been made there. There's a subject. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
Making millions is apparently easy. You simply need green ink, some tracing paper, and more sums, many sums, and an underground lair.
Jars, you challenge first.
Too many sums.
Yes. Making millions, Giles, with you. 52 seconds, starting now.
My great-grandfather was a confectioner specialising in cake decoration. He made millions out of hundreds of thousands. Another of my forebears was Dr. Benjamin Brandreth, who made pills that cured everything.
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of made.
Yes, he made. Too many maids.
Oh, yes.
Sue's listening well, creeping up there. 40 seconds available, making millions, Sue, starting now.
A basement is useful, where you can begin your counterfeiting activity. Darkness is, as usual, the cover of the criminal mind. You must make sure you bend and have one of those...
Paul, challenge.
Surely counterfeiting money cannot be a pursuit in that you do in darkness.
If you're making Braille money, yes.
you need to look and see what it's like, don't you?
I don't think
that's why I've not made millions.
No. So you can't do it in darkness. Paul, a correct challenge. You have the subject of making millions. 31 seconds starting now.
How do you make 5 million? Start off with 10. That's how you invest in a showbiz.
Giles challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Making millions is back with you, Giles. 26 seconds starting now.
I would love to make millions, but it is not likely to be a prospect for me now because of the taxation that has been imposed on us by.
Graham challenged.
Please, we must keep it balanced and fair. I don't...
Well, so what's the challenge?
Deviation from BBC guidelines.
Graham, that certainly deserves a bonus point, but it wasn't a correct challenge.
No?
No, not within just a minute. Making millions is still with you, Giles, and 15 seconds to go. No, 19, starting now.
Every political party is guilty of denying us the opportunity to make millions. I don't look at any particular person. I know that they are all as bad as each other. They want to sap us of our desire to gather the filthy lucre together and to make...
Wait a minute, Graham has challenged.
This is frightening.
Yes, I'm finding it frightening. There's a level of self-loathing loathing here that I think must be stopped.
What I'm saying is we're in a large hall, there's a man ranting, spit is flying, his hands are gesticulating, he's talking about how he paid too much taxes, it's very familiar.
There's a fine line between light entertainment and a rally, and I think we've crossed it.
So you've both got bonus points, okay. Have you got a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute, Graham, because you pressed your buzzer first?
He deviated from how to make millions. He was talking about how not to make millions.
Yes, that's a good challenge, yes.
Thought I'd try it. Seems to be working.
That was an excellent response from the audience because it was a bit equivocating. Like, oh.
No, I think a point.
No,
to be fair
to Giles, he was still on the subject of making millions, even though he was saying that they don't want us to make millions, or some of us do make too many millions, and he was on that. So Giles, benefit of the doubt to you on the subject. 4 seconds to go. You both got bonus points, and you start now.
Never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by those who have made millions.
So at the end of that round, Giles Brandreth speaking as the whistle went, out of the points in that round, has leapt forward, now equal with Graham Norton in second place. Just 2 points ahead of Sue Perkins and 2 points behind Paul Merton. We're moving to the final round. It's Paul Merton's turn to begin. I'm a bit nervous of this subject, especially with Paul's hands, because the subject is the chairman's best features. I'm laying myself on the line here. 60 seconds, starting now. I must explain to our listeners that that round of applause and constant laughter was because Paul just looked at me and shook his head and put on a face of disgust. He could not think of one of them. He gets a bonus point for his reaction and his behaviour and the laugh that he got for it. But Sue challenged first, and your challenge was, of course...
Oh, I've forgotten.
Hesitate.
I'm really hesitating.
And correct challenge. So, Sue, you have the subject now. With 58 seconds to go, the chairman's best features are starting now.
Chairman Mao is a very beautiful man, and despite that piggy complexion and rather sallow cheeks and the beady, beady eyes... That's too beady. Oh, just what giving myself up like a lamb to the slot.
Repetition of beady.
The beady, beady, yes, right. Paul, there are 50 seconds available still. The chairman's best... You're anticipating something, aren't you? The chairman's best features are starting now. Oh, if only this was television. Another look, another round of applause, another big laugh. I've never known people get so much reaction on silent radio before. We should indulge in more silent radio, I think, after this. But Sue challenge. Paul gets a bonus for what he did. Sue, you get a point for your correct
I'm hoping
challenge.
We just can keep this up until I get into second place or something.
Right. The chairman's best features with you, Sue, starting now.
Look at Nicholas Parsons, but that's not the best bit. If you could smell the man, the feral scent that comes like a huge tornado from his armpits. It's something I can't describe. Best described as Lady Astor's knickers.
Graham challenge.
I'm wrong about it. I was going down the describey route, but she's covered herself well.
What? Like Lady Astor's knickers?
No, she... Well, with, possibly with them. No, she said describe and then described.
Oh, right.
But I listened
badly. So an incorrect
badly.
Challenge. Sue, you still have the subject. 38 seconds still available. The chairman's best features starting now.
A pelt of silvery hair. Not his own, but purchased by the square meter from a local warehouse that absolutely specialises in such bright nylon white surfaces. You can see him a mile off. That incredible face.
Just challenged.
There was just a tinge of hesitation.
More than a tinge.
It was looking at your hair.
Don't like her so much now, do you, Nicholas? No.
I think she was running out of steam there because she had a guilty conscience. You can tug my tuft any time. It wouldn't come off. This is the audience with the most obscene minds that I've ever come across. It's most disturbing. I don't know where they've come from. 24 seconds for you, Giles, on the chairman's best feature, starting now.
The chairman's best feature is his tattoo, an hilariously placed dragon rampant, poised for action somewhere that I've only seen it once, and then I had to use a torch, but it was worth...
getting new batteries and...
Sue challenged.
Hesitation?
Well, there was a slight hesitation, because I wasn't sure that
was
it was
all?
It was all. It was all. Yeah.
You did actually... You admit you paused, did you?
No, I didn't pause at all.
No, I don't think you paused either. So, Sue, her skill has the subject.
Why did you only see it once lit and the rest of the times with a torch? That's what I want to know.
We'll maybe find out if he carries on. Yeah. The chairman's best feature starting
Nicholas
now.
Nicholas doesn't seem to care. The secret's been emerged.
Really? Paul Challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
No,
hesitation,
no.
Yes. Hesitation.
You get me?
And I'd like the chance to pay proper tribute.
Yeah. It wouldn't make any difference, the final result, Giles.
I was simply trying to steal Paul's material, that's all.
That's right. And Paul, you have 6 seconds on the chairman's best features starting now. You're working your passage hard for being asked. 3 times he plays that trick. 3 times he gets a laugh. 3 times he gets a round of applause. 3 times the chairman so generously gives him a bonus point. And 3 times he says to Sue, you challenge first.
Yes.
Hesitation.
Hesitation,
so
yes.
Fair back. 5 seconds, the chairman's best features, starting now.
If you could see his eyes, hooded, sheaths of glass, protecting him from the real world and the stare.
Well, those instant rounds of applause there. What an amazing final round and an amazing final score. They're all very, very close together. Just shows you how talented, equal in talent, aren't they? But only 1 point was separating. First in fourth place, working up the scale, Graham Norton, then Giles Brandreth, and then Sue Perkins, who says she never comes anywhere close. But just 2 or 3 points behind the man with all the humorous looks that plays silent radio as no one's ever done it before. He's out in the lead, so we say, you are the winner this week, Paul. Paul Merton. Right. It only remains me to say thank you to these 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sue Perkins and Giles Brandreth. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the scorekeeping and has blown her whistle when the 60 seconds elapsed. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We are deeply indebted to our producer, Claire Jones, and we're also indebted to this lovely audience here at the Mermaid Theatre in Puddle Dock near Blackfriars Bridge, who have been a lovely, warm audience cheering us on our way. We've enjoyed being here. I hope you've enjoyed being here. I hope the listeners have enjoyed listening. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Until then, from me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye! ¶¶